Welcome to the Fearless Future Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine McCourt, transformational life and business coach. Today, I'm speaking with Alex Brookman, who is a board director, strategy facilitator, speaker, and author. He works at the intersection of strategy, leadership, performance, and empowerment. Alex's new books, Secrets of Next Level Entrepreneurs and The Strategy Legacy, have received near ecstatic advanced praise from entrepreneurs, corporate leaders, and leading academics alike. Alex has impacted thousands of business leaders across the world, from multinationals to startups. He holds degrees and certificates in management, leadership, and strategy from EBS, European Business School in Germany, INSEAD in France, and Harvard Business School, of course, in the US. So Alex and I are going to dive into none other than strategy, but also talk a little bit about his transformation from being a radio host into business strategy. And of course, last but not least, is introducing his new book, Secrets of Next Level Entrepreneurs, which is coming out March 28th. And Alex has a special offer for the audience. So please stay tuned and enjoy the interview. Thanks for joining us, Alex. Great to have you join the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Catherine. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, strategy, you know, it is a bit of a labyrinth. Some people get nervous about strategy and building strategy for their business, while others just dive in and get the job done. So, but you are working with businesses and organizations of all types around the globe.
Yes, Fortune 500 companies. Occasionally, there are really small businesses that bring me in for a very short period of time because they want to have a very specific, let's say, workshop type that I facilitate for them. But the longer, bigger strategy projects are typically for businesses, nine figures and up.
Okay, amazing. So I've read somewhere where you mentioned that you crystallize organizational identity through rigorous strategy processes. So how would you really describe that in simple terms for the audience of what you do?
That's a good question, in simple terms, because that is one of the things that I don't like about a lot of the strategy talk that's out there. It gives the impression that strategy is something complex or complicated when it is in fact not. It is the opposite. A good strategy is very, very clean, simple, and straightforward. And when I talk about organizational identity, that term for me is a suitcase term that contains a lot of other different topics. So for example, a few elements of an organization's identity are their vision, their strategy to achieve that vision, which simply means what they want to build and how they will get there. Another element of organizational identity is anything around your leadership principles and the values that you bring to life through your leadership. And of course, we talk about things like the purpose that's driving your business and the impact that you want to create based on that purpose. And there are a few more elements, like in that framework that I created, the nine elements of organizational identity, which will be the title or the concept in my book coming out later this year. But it's not in that new book that's coming out in a few weeks.
Okay, so you've got several projects. You've written more than this book that's coming out though, correct? You have other books that you had written before this.
No, this one is actually my first one that comes out in 5 weeks. Well, by the time this episode airs, we are about a week out. So it's a super exciting time for me. It's the first time a book that I wrote actually hits the bookshelves.
So amazing. I definitely feel the energy from you that this is something truly, truly exciting. And I wish you all the best success with it.
Thank you.
So this podcast is all about transformation in personal and professional life, as well as business and wellness. So just to give the audience a bit more context of who you are. So you used to be a radio host, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So what type of radio was it that you were doing?
I was the editor-in-chief for a regional radio station in Germany, where I went through a professional education and then later switched lanes and worked for a news agency. And in total, that's about almost 9 years that I worked for various radio stations, agencies, and mainly music magazines.
Okay, awesome. And what was the transformation for you that brought you to business strategy and wanting to help organizations build their identity?
that was sort of an accident, I would say.
Okay.
I think I would never have switched lanes if 9/11 had not happened.
Oh,
with 9/11, the impact on the industry and the business world was clearly tangible back then. A lot of businesses were just afraid and in upheaval about what was happening, what was going on. We just had come out of the dot-com bubble burst, for those of you who remember that. So there was an unstable economic environment back then that led to businesses cutting cost. And the agency that I worked for basically slammed my department from 30-something people to two. And I was of the first ones to let go. So that gave me the opportunity to rethink my career trajectory. And when I realized that there is basically no hope in getting back into a proper job in the media industry that I loved so much, I asked myself, what else is out there? And I couldn't find anything that was really exciting for me. And in the end, I said, okay, you got to go back to school, man. And that's when I ended up doing my high school degree at the age of 25. And then going to university, graduating from a business school in Germany at the age of 28, and then found my way back into the media industry. And I started to work as the executive assistant to the president of one of the largest media organizations in the world, but this time not on the content creator side, but on the management side. And that's when I started to, see the power of strategy in action. When it was not taught in an academic vacuum in university, it actually was really fun to see. And that's when it just grabbed me and I realized, this is pretty cool stuff, man. You like that? and I stayed with it.
Oh, so awesome. So what would you say has been the biggest lesson that you've learned going through a transformation like that? You know, many people, I would think, oh, radio host, it's kind of sexy. It's cool. A lot of people might aspire to do that. It's more creative versus being in the business world. But for you, you kind of went the other way. So what would you say has been the biggest lesson that you've taken from that transformation?
One of them, it's not either or. So now I've been an entrepreneur for a decade now. So after the corporate career came the consulting career, and that has been more than 10 years now. And I realized that this stint with corporate was important for me to learn, to see something else, and to experience the dynamics of these enterprises, because they are now my clients. And that helps me tremendously to understand the dynamics in these businesses. It helps me tremendously to create bespoke programs that really help them succeed and up their game. So that more creative part that I didn't want to say I left it behind, because I didn't totally leave it behind. It wasn't that evident anymore in my job, but I still have a life outside my work. So
yes,
that's where I kept that creative part alive. And as an entrepreneur, all of a sudden you have the opportunity to bring both of these sides to the table. So I think what I've learned is to shift my mindset from anything around either or let's say a scarcity mindset in general, that there is not enough, because that's what I experienced. I experienced there's not enough jobs for everyone who wants to work in that industry. And I shifted that to more of a mindset of abundance, where I realized you need to do something that gives you the opportunity to bring your whole personality to life and to work. And that is something, every time I feel like there's not enough, I remind myself that there is maybe not enough of one particular resource, but when you bring your whole personality to the game, there will be enough for that personality, because it's a unique personality. You are unique, whatever you do.
Yes.
And you just need to find that magical place where you can bring your whole personality to work. And that's not easy. I admit that. For some, it is easy. I have friends who found that very early in their lives. For me, it took a bit of a time. So hang in there. If you're not having it yet out there, hang in there, do the work, it will come.
Yes. And it kind of reminds me of this thing that a lot of people stop themselves from going ahead and doing something because they're like, oh, well, someone's already done it before or someone's already doing it. But the truth is you bring your uniqueness to whatever that is, which then creates a differentiation. So never be shy to start something just because someone else has done it as well.
I'm going to tell you a secret. There is nothing new under the sun. Everything, every idea that you have, someone else had it, someone else has done it before. So just because someone else has done something before should never hold you back. If you approach a certain industry, a certain type of business from the perspective of the unique twist that you can bring to it, then no one has done it before. And that's when you create bespoke value.
Love that. So the foundation of my business is purpose, whether it's in personal life or business. And you've said that your passion is helping others build profitable businesses rooted in purpose. So what makes you the expert, or what can you tell us about your passion around purpose and helping others discover this?
I've realized that purpose is a really good concept when we talk about individuals. So you and I as individuals, we can have a proper purpose. This is something I wouldn't say everyone discovers, but most of the people who search for it, they will find it eventually. Not everyone does, but those who do find it. And I think it is possible to use that purpose and let it fuel your professional career and what you do in your personal life, for example, how you approach life in general. When it comes to organizations, that term purpose becomes really complex and multi-layered because purpose means something different to every person in that business.
Yes.
And just because you have a polished purpose statement does not mean that it resonates with every individual in that business. And this is where it becomes tricky. And that's also what we see in a lot of businesses, that they do have a purpose statement. But when you ask even the executives, they struggle to repeat it and tell you what it really is.
Yes.
And when you then start to dig a bit deeper, you realize where this comes from. First of all, purpose has become a marketing tool that companies write on their website. And then unfortunately, a lot of businesses really don't live up to that. They don't walk the talk. And the issue with that is that people join businesses and leave their bosses. So once you are attracted as an employee to a business that tells you our purpose is X and that purpose resonates with you, you then join that business and realize that there is basically no one really living up to that. It's all just talk. You are very quickly disappointed and you become even cynical. So it's a very, very dangerous route to go for a business and people just leave again. So it's really detrimental to your employer brand. And it also is detrimental to your relationship with your clients or customers. When they realize that your purpose statement is nothing but a polished veneer wrapped around a less noble core, they see through it. They realize it. And we are living in an age where more and more people are more conscious about their consumption patterns and they start to ghost or cancel brands that say one thing, but do something completely different. And then on the other hand, you have brands who live up to their purpose. Like everything they do is based in their purpose. You see it. A great example is the American apparel and gear company Patagonia. They have attracted hordes of raving fans because of how they live up to their purpose.
Yes.
And I think there is a better concept for organizations than purpose. And I believe it's the concept of impact. So tangible impact, what you really do matters way more than what you say you intend to do. Purpose on an organization level is an intent. But impact is something tangible. So rather than telling the world what you intend to do, you should do and walk the talk, lead by example. It's way more powerful to create tangible impact because it shines. People see it, then talking about what you want to do and then do something, but not enough.
Yes, have the integrity built in or behind it. So It also brings up things that I work a lot with clients around, you know, are you clear on who you won't do business with? Mm-hmm. So every business thinks, oh, well, my product or my service is so amazing and everyone could use this. And they try and spin it in a way that resonates with different audiences. But if you sit them down back to that purpose piece and say, well, do you know who you will not do business with? A lot of them sit sort of questionable on that. Because to them, it's like, well, we need to drive revenue as well. So a sale is good for the business. But that comes back to that integrity piece that you're hitting on is, you know, that's where the integrity comes from is, do you know who you will not do business with?
It reminds
go ahead.
It reminds me of Michael Jordan, who famously said, Republicans buy sneakers too, when he was asked to support the Democratic campaign back then.
Okay.
Which he refused to do because he felt that he would negatively impact his business, his shoe business back then.
Yeah, interesting. I didn't know that.
And I totally agree with you. Let me put it this way. Depending on what type of business you have, especially when you are a service provider or in a B2B environment, you can choose who you work with. You cannot choose who buys your products. If you are a B2C company, right? That's a different ballgame. You can in a certain way, but I don't want to go that way. I would rather try and talk about the potential power that you have as a provider in consciously choosing who you work with. And the question is always, and you mentioned it, you have to create enough revenue. You have to put food on the table. If you're a small business, it can become sort of a luxury to walk away from a potential client or even cancel an existing client contract.
Yes.
But the question is, what is the downside if you don't? And I give you a very specific example. We had to walk away from a very lucrative leadership development deal several years back because we realized that the people we were training applied for us unethical sales tactics. They would lie, they would cheat, they would deceive. And this behavior was backed by the top management of that business.
Oh, wow.
So when we saw what was going on and confronted the business and tried our best to help people see the damage that they do, and then realized that they really didn't care, that it was all about the sales, we had to ask ourselves what that means for the relationship with us. Because that business that I led back then had a very clear set of values. And you can have that set of values, frame them and hang them in the corridor and let them become a hallway joke when you don't follow up and don't live them. Mm-hmm. Or you are true to your values and walk away from such a business and don't prolong a contract, don't sign the next year's deal. And that's what we did. And that hurt financially. But in the end, it made us incredibly proud that we passed our own test in the end. If you write down fancy words and you're not ready to live them, then these values become weaponized by your employees against you. The same is true for purpose statements, by the way.
Right.
So it's way more than just a bunch of fancy sounding words that you collect and put on your website as a marketing tool.
Yes. And it kind of goes back to sociology studies that happen around, obviously, people's consumerism, consumer behavior, even just from business standpoint, when things are rocky in the environment, like right now, we're all talking about this recession that's going to be hitting us or currently started, or however this pandemic has brought us to this point of recession. People in general and businesses in general continue to do good work with the people that they already trust, right? And so the businesses that you were describing, saying they really had no integrity around what they were doing, they were just like saying whatever they needed to say to close a deal and whatever. That's not going to last long. And a lot of those organizations don't. They're the ones that suffer the most. And so I'm totally aligned with the things that you are saying right now about consumers are way smarter today. And maybe it's not even smarter. They've just made themselves more aware.
There's way more information out there that they that we have access to today. There's way more transparency in the marketplace, in the supply chains. And the good thing.
Yes. Exactly. So yeah, better have your integrity to back you up in any business. So what are some of the most common mistakes then that you're seeing business owners and leaders make when it comes to building strategy?
Depending on the size of an organization, I see different patterns, how they approach it, that sometimes are helpful and sometimes are not. Take small businesses, for example. They often are led by people that not necessarily have a business background. They grew into something based on their subject matter expertise, or they had an opportunity and took it. They might have a background in geology and now they're leading a franchise business. You know,
right.
Life just happens and you got to take chances when they present themselves. So,
yes.
But they don't have a background in business. So when they hear the term strategy, their brain goes, oh, what does that mean? Oh, I've heard that term in other contexts. And a certain picture forms in your head what strategy actually is. That is dangerous because it is, let's say, some things that you have heard and that you've seen maybe are strategy and others are not. But people call it strategy because, let's be honest, it's a fancy term that's been thrown around by a lot of people who have no idea what they're talking about. And this happens particularly often when I talk to businesses about business strategy. I realize in the conversation that they confuse marketing strategy with business strategy. So for a small business, a business strategy is often a go-to-market strategy, but that is not necessarily a marketing strategy. And the terms get confused and all of a sudden you realize what you've been building is something like a Frankenstein's monster. It's neither nor, and you are frustrated. So that's what I see with small businesses a lot. With bigger businesses, these processes can often be fairly painful because the people involved are often people that have 10, 20 years of business experience. They've been through transformations. They have seen certain things in their life, and they have maybe even been involved in business strategy processes before. So now these, let's say 5, 6, 10 people in an executive team sit around a board table and start a discussion about creating a business strategy for their business. And every single one of them has a different experience with that. Every single one of them has a certain idea of how it should be done. And even if they all understand the concept, which most of them do at that stage, they have very different understandings or approaches of how to bring it to life and what it should entail. And that is often based on their particular role. For example, a finance director, a purchasing director, or a VP, they have different approaches to when it comes to strategy or a different focus than, for example, the CHRO. So it is incredibly interesting to be a part of these discussions and help these executive teams align on what it actually is that they talk about when they use the term strategy. And these discussions are some of the most invigorating and intellectually challenging that I have the privilege to be a part of.
Yeah, I love that you bring that up because there's either a podcast or an article that I did which talks about the different purposes and levels of purpose within a business. So what you described about these maybe 5 individuals at the boardroom, they all have a very different purpose within the business. But then there's the true overarching purpose of the actual business. And it's how do they come to deliver their role purpose within the bigger arched purpose of the business.
And that is something a lot of executives struggle with because their job performance and the expectation toward them is tied to their job title.
Yes.
So now you sit in a boardroom and you're about to create the future of that business because that's what strategy is. It's about creating the future. So all of a sudden, your current operational issues, the topics you're working on, maybe even your experience in that particular subject matter does not matter anymore because we're not talking about yesterday or the immediate future or operational problems. We're talking about strategy, the overarching picture. And the best organizations, the best strategies that I've seen come to life were the result of an executive team that was able to mentally detach themselves in that strategy process from their existing role and the organizational structure as a whole. Because honestly speaking, your job, your role, your organizational unit might not be necessary in that future picture of success for that business. Mm. But if you're able to create that future, there will be a place for you afterwards. Because that's the type of people you want in a business. People that are not clingy and hold on to their responsibilities and try to shape the future around their area of responsibility so that they have the most security and job influence in that business in the future. That's not what strategy is all about. That's just power games that are in the end detrimental to the success of a business.
Yes. And often, I mean, I think probably at the board level, you get less of this, but definitely in middle management, you get when people are in the room, it's like someone has an idea and they want to put it forward for the organization as a whole. But middle management is really conscious of how that impacts their role specifically. And to your point, they start arguing why it may not work or why the development of that is not going to satisfy because they're concerned about what that means for their role or their teams that they're responsible for.
I love your positive view on boardrooms, Catherine. Unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case.
I'm sure you've seen a lot.
I've also seen really great examples. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
So I'm with you.
Yes. Okay, cool. Just for the sake of, before you mentioned the difference of a GTM, so a go-to-market strategy, something that you and I obviously are well-versed in, not everybody understands what that is in my audience, maybe. So can you just describe just briefly the difference of a go-to-market strategy versus marketing strategy? Because you brought up that point that a lot of people confuse the two.
A go-to-market strategy describes how your business creates value for a customer in the bigger scope. So how do you create a product, let's say a tech product, and how do you go to market with that? How you approach it, how you try to be fast, learn, improve, and capture as much value as possible. That is an overarching approach to business. Whereas a marketing strategy describes the marketing specific aspects of a go-to-market strategy. A go-to-market strategy has way more than just marketing in it. So if you think a high-rise building, your marketing is, let's say, the first three stories. But the go-to-market strategy that includes the marketing strategy, that's the entire building that you want to create. So there's the difference. One is part of the other, and they are not interchangeable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so a lot of your work is around helping leaders balance impact and profit. So what do you really mean by this? And how do you personally approach this? Because this is something certainly like back to our conversation before about companies like Patagonia does that very well. You know, they're one of the leaders in that being able to separate or balance, I should say, that. So what does it really mean to you to help leaders do that?
When we look back, let's say, it's not that much, maybe 5 to 10 years, there was serious doubt whether you could build an impactful, sustainable, ecologically and socially sustainable business on a large scale. Mm. And at the same time, be profitable. It was always the bigger you get, the more resources you need. That's not good for the environment, et cetera, et cetera. That was the logic. And then some businesses, at least parts of their businesses, prove that it can work. You can build sustainable businesses that are very, very profitable at the same time. A good example is, that's often being brought up because it's so relatable and most of us know the brand, is Lipton Tea. So that brand managed to take a look at their supply chain, where the tea is grown, how it gets processed, the whole supply chain until you put the bag into your hot water. Mm. And they realized there is some potential in there to not only be environmentally more sustainable, but also to help the people in that supply chain to earn a living wage, for example.
Mm.
What they did was they reworked their supply chain from an environmental and social perspective and started using their existing marketing budget to focus on what they did. So they didn't spend a dime on additional marketing or anything to talk about that. They just realized if we do something like that, we need to tell people that it's possible. And obviously, their hope was that they would attract more conscious buyers. So there is this aspect that if you do it and talk about it, people will love it because it's the right thing to do. It's not only about doing well, it's also about doing good. Mm-hmm. And when they did, they grew the market share of Lipton tea tremendously. And in addition, you are able to ask a price premium because these people are willing to pay maybe 10 cents more on the package of tea than for a comparable product where they don't know whether this is sustainably sourced tea. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean when I talk about balancing profit and impact. You can do both. And we come full circle here in the end. You don't have to decide for one thing or the other.
Right.
If you approach it from an abundance perspective, you can ask yourself, what can I do in my small area of the sandbox? And then also talk about the small businesses out there. You can choose who you source from. You can choose if you run an apparel company, whether you source your t-shirts for $2 made in a sweatshop somewhere in Asia, or whether you pay more and talk about it. If you don't do that, you miss an opportunity. If you just want to buy a t-shirt that is sustainably sourced and pay $10 for it and just don't make more profit or the same amount of profit than before, that's also your decision. It's the right thing. I promise you, you will sleep better when you do it. But if you can also use what you do, start talking about it and build consumer touch points that are based on the sustainability that you bring to the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think consumers can play a big part in this, right? We can help drive that to put pressure on organizations that do continue to manufacture in these awful, awful scenarios and say that, hey, we actually would pay more if you do it responsibly. So great, great point. So let's now dive into your book here, Alex. It's coming out soon. The book is called Secrets of Next Level Entrepreneurs, and you focus on strategy, leadership, and wellness. You share three mission critical pillars that contribute to building future-proof businesses. Can you briefly share either all three or at least one of these pillars and why it's so important?
You actually mentioned them, right? So it's mission critical skills. It's how do you create leadership and culture? And it's the whole topic of self-care and knowing yourself as an entrepreneur. And when we use the term entrepreneur in that context of the book, we are actually talking about anyone leading a business. So that can be a senior leader in a large organization, that can be an employed middle manager somewhere in the business, or that can be an entrepreneur or solopreneur, owner of a small business. That's what we mean when we use the term entrepreneur. I think the last pillar in that book, the whole topic of, as I call it, self-care, is kind of untypical for a very business-focused book. Because the first two themes in that book, they're really nuts and bolts business. It's about business strategy. It's about pricing. It's about sustainability. It's about transformation, leadership, and building impactful cultures at work. And then that last chapter sits somehow, it's something else in a business book. Let me put it that way. But I realized over the past 15 years that at one point or another, every entrepreneur, every business leader gets to that point where they ask themselves, why on earth am I doing this?
Right.
Or why am I doing this to myself?
Yes.
And then you have these situations where you as an executive coach sit in a room with a grown man in their mid-50s, and all of a sudden, tears are starting to flow because they realize...
Or woman.
Yeah.
I was going to say, or woman.
For me, it never happened with women, honestly speaking. Okay. It was some of these really defining moments for me as an executive coach are when people feel vulnerable enough, open up, then those whom you would maybe least expect it from start to realize what they've done and dare to say it out loud. And that is such a relief for so many. And that's why this last chapter of the book is all about understanding yourself and understanding who you are, what matters to you in life, and then take a decision to lead or not, and not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like not being or not tying your self-worth to your title or the business that you have. You have a different self-worth, right? Your self-worth is not tied, should not be tied to that 100%. So,
yeah. And if we understand ourselves better and what matters to us, we can more consciously work toward fulfilling what we want to see in life and also the lives that we want to live. We often are the result of decades of influence from the outside. And we see what other people did and aspire to do the same, or we hear what our family wants us to do when we are younger, and that overshadows what we want to do with our lives. But, you know, all of a sudden you are a doctor, but you never wanted to be one. It was the dream of your mother and your dad, not yours. And there are many examples in the book that help you understand the power of achieving self-transformation and how to do that. But this entire book is extremely specific. It's not a fluff book. So in every chapter, you get hands-on how-tos, step-by-step. So there's this one exercise in a chapter in this third pillar of self-care that I love so much because it's so simple. It's about understanding what is taking resources in your life right now and what would you want to take resources in your life right now? Comparing those two and then defining how do you deflate the areas in your life that are too big and shouldn't maybe be there at all? Yes. And how do you start building a life by design and not by default? And these examples, these exercises, they are so powerful because they are so simple. And I actually tried them myself, which was really, a revelation.
Awesome. Well, as humans, we're really good at complicating things. We always think things need to be so complex. And really, it's about diving down to simplicity. Yes, in a lot of that work of wellness and discovering. So who would you say is your ideal client? So your ideal client may or may not be the same as your ideal reader for this book. But so maybe you can describe both if they are different.
Well, the book was written for people who lead businesses in general. So anyone who is thinking about starting their own business, from a solopreneur or a side hustler who's thinking about making this their full-time, all the way to corporate executives and board members. They will massively benefit from reading the book because, as you already said, it's about simplicity. It's about making things simple, not about simplicity.
Right.
You can simplify something without dumbing it down. And that's what we try to do in the book and in each chapter, to give very specific steps and ideas on how you can use the knowledge of the people that brought it to the table in the book and apply it to your own world. So I would say the book is for everyone leading an area or a business as a whole. My ideal client, my personal ideal client, is a small fraction of the ideal reader of the book, of course. I can't work with every business.
Right.
And I don't. So most of the businesses that I work with are 9 figures and above. These are businesses that have an executive team. They are sometimes even family run or owner run, but they do have an executive team. There's the occasional small business that comes my way, but that typically doesn't happen. My sweet spot is definitely, let's say, everything that has a serious understanding of what strategy is and wants to use it to create a new 3 to 5 year strategy for their business.
Okay, great. And is there a specific industry that you find tends to come to you? I mean, obviously, a lot of work that you and I do as coach/consultants is referral business. So are you noticing a trend of industry that tends to be attracted to the work that you're doing?
Interestingly enough, in the past months, I would say the financial industry is kind of stronger than they used to in this area. I don't know why.
You've obviously done great work with a financial institution and now they're spreading the word.
But in general, I would say most of the businesses that I work with, they come from all walks of life. So from telco to tech to automotive to manufacturing. So there really is no industry specificity to it, because the type of work that I do is not about the specific challenges of an industry. And it's not even about consulting. So I typically don't come in as the expert in a certain field, tell people what I think they should do.
Right.
I don't even call myself a strategy consultant. I call myself a strategy facilitator. I hold the space and create the space that I just described earlier in our conversation, where leaders can talk about the future without clinging to the present. And by allowing themselves to go into that space, the type of conversations that they have is very, very different. And it's a very powerful conversation because it shapes the future. And I think the type of businesses that are able to do that, you will find them in any industry.
Right. Awesome. Well, Alex, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you. I'm really excited for your book to come out in the next weeks. And is there anything else that we didn't touch on that you would love to share with the audience before
we... I actually want to invite everyone to join us on March 28th at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, to have an hour of fun and games with us at the launch party of the book. It's very simple. Go to nextlevelbook.co, and you can download a free chapter of the book already and sign up for the launch party and have some fun with us and celebrate the launch of the book.
Amazing. That sounds fun. Great. I really love all the information that you shared with us today, Alex. It's been a real pleasure to meet you. Where can people connect with you or find you? Are you on social media? You have a website, I imagine. So what are those
you
channels?
You can send me a dove or you can snail mail me. of course, I am on social.
Send you a fax?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, I think that's the one that doesn't work anymore. I don't have a fax anymore. But obviously, I mean, you can find me on LinkedIn or you just go to alexthestrategist.com. There's tons of resources on my website that you can enjoy, a blog that's regularly updated at least once or twice a week. You can also join my email community, Brookman Building Bridges, where I talk a lot about things outside strategy. So it's a lot about empowerment, a lot about leadership. If these topics interest you, just subscribe to be part of the email community and enjoy the content that's coming your way.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Alex. It's a pleasure to meet you today and all the best with your successes and your new book.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Catherine.
Thanks so much for tuning in. New episodes drop each week, and I'd love your support on this mission to intrigue and help others bound fearlessly into their future. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and share a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform. Fearless Future Podcast is made possible by platforms such as Buzzsprout and Riverside FM. If you're interested in starting your own podcast, Buzzsprout is a great place to start to host, promote, and begin tracking your podcast. They have a 360-degree service and a ton of videos to help you get set up, choose the right equipment, and how to monetize your podcast. Their customer service is the quickest and most reliable to keep you growing and never stall your creative output. It's a super easy platform to use and connect your podcast to all major platforms for listeners to find you. So ready to launch your podcast? Go ahead and use the Buzzsprout link that I put in the show notes and receive a $20 Amazon gift card after your second paid invoice. Riverside FM is my studio platform that allows me to schedule and invite guests into a professional and interactive studio. You can have one or multiple guests, and it records separate tracks for ease in editing and creating clips. It's an intuitive platform that makes your videos look great and improves any sound quality, including sound effects. Follow the links in the show notes to review if these platforms can work for you. Want a secret for editing? Check out the Descript link that I put in the show notes. This is the easiest platform I've ever used to edit podcasts or any type of audio or video. So yes, you can upload video. You can get the transcript. And all you have to do is edit the transcript and you're done. Super easy. Check it out. All the best on your journey and have a fantastic week. Fearless Future Podcast is made possible by platforms such as Buzzsprout and Riverside FM. If you're interested in starting your own podcast, Buzzsprout is a great place to start to host, promote, and begin tracking your podcast. They have a 360-degree service and a ton of videos to help you get set up, choose the right equipment, and how to monetize your podcast. Their customer service is the quickest and most reliable to keep you growing and never stall your creative output. It's a super easy platform to use and connect your podcast to all major platforms for listeners to find you. So ready to launch your podcast? Go ahead and use the Buzzsprout link that I put in the show notes and receive a $20 Amazon gift card after your second paid invoice. Riverside FM is my studio platform that allows me to schedule and invite guests into a professional and interactive studio. You can have one or multiple guests, and it records separate tracks for ease in editing and creating clips. It's an intuitive platform that makes your videos look great and improves any sound quality, including sound effects. Follow the links in the show notes to review if these platforms can work for you. Want a secret for editing? Check out the Descript link that I put in the show notes. This is the easiest platform I've ever used to edit podcasts or any type of audio or video. So yes, you can upload video. You can get the transcript. And all you have to do is edit the transcript and you're done. Super easy. Check it out. All the best on your journey and have a fantastic week.